Force is strong in my family. My father has it. I have it. My sister has it. You have that power too.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Nerdcast from Project Nerd. We are on a little holiday hiatus right now, but we could not let this time go by without coming in and talking about all things Star Wars. Star Wars.
Tyler, I noticed Iggy's not here. Does that mean we can call this a very special episode of the Nerdcast?
It's a very special episode for a couple different reasons. Reason number one, Star Wars. Reason number two, we are joined today by Josh and Drew from Sexy Nerd Science. Hey, guys.
What's going on, guys?
Hey, everybody. And it's also a special episode because Star Wars. Screw you, Iggy. I don't know. I got nothing. but a couple things, housekeeping to get out of the way. Number one, as I said, we are on hiatus for the holidays, and I know Sexy Nerd Science is as well. So this is going up just because we could not let Star Wars go by without talking about it, but we will be back with regular episodes come January 8th. So we'll see you then. Enjoy the holidays. Have a good New Year's. Have a good Christmas. Thing number two, this will be the spoilery podcast of all times. So if you listen past the next probably 30 seconds, you only have yourself to blame because we are going to spoil all of the things. We're going to talk about how Jar Jar Binks is back. We're going to talk about a lot of things. We're going to talk about how like four of the main characters are the children of Luke and Leia together, which is kind of gross, but it's out there. So seriously though, real spoilers are to follow. So if you have yet to see The Force Awakens, please, for the love of God, turn off this podcast now and go watch the movie and then come back and we'll talk about it. So with that out of the way, we're going to give you one more little pause. Just kind of take it in, decide, am I gonna venture past this point of no return? And then let's talk about Star Wars. So, what do you guys think?
I think Leia's riding solo now.
Ouch.
That's really? Cold. Just right out the jump.
Not burying the lead at all. Ouch.
I've been waiting so long to make
that joke. He made that joke. Like, I don't know.
Immediately in the movie theater to my girlfriend.
Oh, my gosh. Chewie is riding solo. Poor guy. I
said Leia is riding solo.
Let's be honest. If anyone, I mean, Luke, Leia and Han had apparently been, like, space divorced for the last, like, 20 years. Like, Chewie's the one that was really hurt in this situation.
Aww.
He's the wrong party.
Can we just talk about how, like, immediately right after that, how the most BA fighting we've ever seen from a Wookiee happened, like, he took out like half a legion. He's just
he had just lost his life partner. He's straight shooting dark force users. He's just pushing. He doesn't care if he gets out. He's just taking everyone out with him. He's hitting that detonator real quick.
Yeah,
It was solid. So before we get into like our impressions on it, first thing we'll touch on is, as predicted, Star Wars: The Force Unleashed this last weekend made all of the money. Literally all of the money ever made was spent this weekend to go see it multiple times. What did the final weekend tally end up being?
We are recording Sunday night, so we don't have a hard definite answer. Looks like the estimate's about $238 million. $238 million domestic.
I saw 583 worldwide or something like that.
Yeah, I think 517 again is the estimated worldwide, so we don't know. Obviously, there's still time for people to see the movie as we're recording.
And that doesn't even take into account the 517 worldwide is it doesn't open in China for another like 2 weeks.
Right.
Although they have mentioned that Star Wars is not a big thing in China.
No.
So
I don't think they got the original trilogy.
Well, they were in the middle of some pretty serious, what's the word? In 79, there was still some pretty serious censorship going on about all things Western. So, but yeah, blew the most like, because the record holder for weekend opening prior to this was this year's Jurassic World at, what, 208?
Yeah.
And this one destroyed it by a solid $30 million in December, not in summer blockbuster time. So.
Yeah. So Box Office Mojo put out a list of all of the things that it beat. And so it's the largest Thursday preview ever. It's the largest Friday opening day, single day ever. It's the biggest domestic weekend at $238 million, highest per theater average with a wide opening at over 57,000 per theater. It's the top opening weekend for a PG-13 movie. It's the top holiday opening weekend, which they consider any movie from the first Friday of November through New Year's to be a holiday movie.
And not just the top holiday movie, the top holiday movie by like $100 million.
Yeah.
Like not only is this the biggest movie of all time, but it did it in December, which is unheard of.
Right. Yeah. It goes on and on. They start getting a little more like obscure. So it's got the biggest single day in December for $120.5 million for the Friday opening, the widest December opening. So the most theaters, obviously the most money in December, the global IMAX opening record at 48 million for IMAX alone. That's more than the 44 that Jurassic World did. The domestic IMAX opening record at 30 million. Again, beat Jurassic World by about $10 million there. The biggest weekend overall for a top 12 grossing movie. So that's insane that it's already in the top 12 grossing.
Also, the only movie in history, not the fastest, but the only movie in history to make $100 million in one day.
Yeah.
Now, granted, one day means Thursday night through Friday, but still, it took Jurassic World a whole 2 days to get there. So cut that in half.
Yeah, pretty wild. So just crazy amounts, you know, of everything. If you look at the yearly box office numbers, it's already the seventh highest grossing film this year. and only $16 million behind The Hunger Games, Mockingjay Part 2. So it's got that clearly in its sights already. Then you're looking at Minions, Furious 7, Inside Out, Avengers, Age of Ultron, and Jurassic World. And I don't know how it doesn't steamroll all of those, but we'll see.
Yeah, I think didn't break record-wise? I mean, I'm trying to think of something that could have been more
successful. Do they have any statistics on theater rentals? Most theater rentals? Because I want to be part of that statistic.
I didn't see that in the Box Office Mojo listings, but I'm gonna go ahead and we'll say that it did hit that and that you guys made that happen. Yeah. It did by one theater, so you guys were the ones.
We're number one. Okay with that.
but yeah, so I mean, it's the crazy one for me. I think is the highest per theater average, because I mean, it opened in over 4,000. Theaters and still made $57,000 per theater. I mean, that's crazy to me.
Well, so I mean, does it have the closest one to that per theater, like the closest movie?
The previous record was for Jurassic World at 48,000, so it had it by right around $9,000 more per theater.
How many theaters opened in Jurassic World open?
See, Jurassic World opened with 4,274 theaters, and
where are all these theaters in the United States that were like, yeah, nah, we don't need Star Wars this week?
And then Star Wars opened in 4,134. So did it in fewer theaters, made more money, and so you get the higher per theater average.
Yeah. Being for the most part, based on the screenings I saw and people I talked to a few people who were in theaters that were not completely full, but I don't know of a theater that showed the movie and didn't practically sell out, like Thursday through Saturday. Sunday maybe a little less, but if it was showing, it was full. So I don't know. I mean, I had talked to someone at work today who had already seen it 3 times and was leaving work to go see it for his 4th time.
Well, and you have to think about the circumstances with the theaters that people are buying tickets now and not showing up at that point, because those tickets might have been sold, but not, you know, those people might not have showed up.
That's a good point. Yeah, with people being able to buy tickets online, Fandango and all that other stuff, like you could get a ticket and then something could come up and you should not end up going. But those ticket sales still go through.
Yeah, but so for a movie opening amazing, for a December movie opening incredibly amazing, it also helps that it has been unseasonably warm all December, so no one was kept from seeing it due to giant snowstorms anywhere. But now that we got the nitty-gritty, the numbers out of the way, I think the important question is did we like it?
I'm giving it a thumbs up here. Considered science, can we agree on this?
Yeah, no, okay. I loved it. I think there's a bias because I fell in love with Kylo Ren before he even was on the screen. So, but yeah, I mean, overall, I thought it was top notch.
I would probably go in to say, I mean, it's definitely one of... I'm a weird Star Wars fan. I thought Revenge of the Sith was my favorite movie, and that made a lot of people upset. I like Empire. Like, Empire's right there. But, I mean, there's just something about, like, Revenge of the Sith that, like, I just... But I think this definitely is, you know, right somewhere right there, right up next to Empire Strikes Back. Even though I kept saying to myself, I'm like, man, like, this... There's literally scenes that felt like they were pulled right out of episode 4 and put into this movie.
And that's the thing, I think, with like, just like with Jurassic World and being a what, 10, 20 year later remake or whatever, or not remake, but a reboot, just like with Star Wars, is you're going to have the nostalgic that you're trying to put it back into that. And scenes from Jurassic World were basically the same as... Jurassic Park. I mean, almost down to the letter.
Yeah, that's definitely true. Although this movie definitely took it to another level in terms of we are going to note for note go back over New Hope. And it's one of those things where I'll come out the gate and say I really did. I loved it. But a lot of my love, I need to see it multiple times now. A lot of my love was more emotionally based than, you know, critically based. Like that fanfare plays up on the giant screen. The text starts scrolling. Like that was a pretty big moment for me towards the end of the movie when it was all coming to a close. Like someone in the theater may have been eating onions. I don't know. It was kind of dusty in there. There was things in my eye. I don't know, but I want to preface everything by saying I really, really love the movie before I start to like pick at it. But Abrams walked a fine line between, you know, paying tribute, letting everyone know like, hey, we're fans too. We know what we're doing. We're on board. We want to pay tribute to what these original movies were, and literally making a shot-for-shot remake straight down to, you know, Death Star number 3 and guy in black mask with lightsaber and X-Wing flying down trench and shooting things. And, I mean, it was just note for note, you know, down and out scavenger kid living on desert planet goes off. I mean, it was A New Hope told over again with new characters, like without a doubt. And at times it got a little cloying, but it still was. And there was a lot of fun fan service in there. Everything from, you know, the space chess board to the training droid to like all the little fan servicey nods to everyone. But It was close. Like it rode that line between being a little bit too much on the nose and still being its own movie. But at the same time, I think part of that was purposeful in the sense that we're going to use this first movie to let everyone know, look, we know you've been hurt before. We love these movies too. We can do those movies. Here's your fan servicey. Like, let's get you on board with what we're trying to do and then set it up to then go off and do new and exciting things in this world. So At least that's what I hope. If this next one turns out to be literally a shot-for-shot remake for Empire Strike Backs, then we'll have to revisit this.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, I really, really liked it. Obviously, I've got a review up on Project Nerd for it. I gave it a very high score, 98 out of 100, I think. And I, you know, think the more I think about it, the more I think it was less emotional than I thought it was going to be in terms of how it impacted me and how I liked it. I agree with you guys about the way they told the story. That is very, you know, it is very Star Wars. You know, there's no mistaking what you're watching at that point in time when you think of the movie as a whole, but I don't think, to me, it wasn't a negative. It didn't never even entered my mind as a negative. It was simply, this is how you tell these types of stories. And we know that. And so we're going to tell it that same way. It will, to me, that was the nostalgia factor, was how they were telling the story, not like seeing the chessboard. Obviously the chessboard's going to be there because we're inside the Millennium Falcon and there's a chessboard there. So that's okay. I know that that's a thing. But there was the style of the story was what was nostalgic to me and what really made me think, right, this is it. This is what I want. This is everything I need. And then I was 100% completely on board when Kylo Ren caught the blaster bolt. It's like, oh, no, that's game over. That is all I need. Like, I am purchased and 100% sold on this movie because that's the most legit thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah. I don't know what noise I made. I made some weird noise when it happened. I was just like, oh!
Wilhelm scream from yeah. Drew. Like,
So bringing that in, let's talk about, obviously we had our, we didn't bury the lead after the spoiler warning. Obviously, a much beloved character definitely bites it in this one. But before we get into that, how do we feel about the new characters? Kylo, Rey, Finn. Are they worthy successors to carry the story on into the next chapter, I guess, of the Star Wars mythos?
One thing I read about Kylo before, and I'm just going to stick with him because I am in love. One thing I read about Kylo before I saw the movie and everything was like, JJ said that he was going to be like, he was going to be emotion driven. And I really felt that like throughout the movie. I got a lot from him as a character, and I really appreciated that, I guess.
Yeah, he's clearly not a all-powerful Sith Lord. He's a angry teenager who has some crazy powers and is still trying to come to terms with who and what he is. I want to touch on Kylo just a second because another point is, there was a lot more humor than I was expecting from a Star Wars movie. And my favorite scene, quite possibly in the whole movie, is when for like the second time in the movie, Kylo Ren just freaks the fuck out because something goes wrong. And these two stormtroopers are coming down the hallway and they see like stuff coming out of the room and they just nope the fuck out of there. They just, just walk out. They're like, we're not getting anywhere near what's going on in there.
Nope. Turning around, which, yeah. You know, like, the way that they made it seem like when Finn kind of came to and realized like, oh shit, like I shouldn't be like, I don't want to be here or whatever. It like made me seem like all these guys were programmed, and obviously it's not like 100%, you know, but when they do stuff like that, like when they just were like, no, we're not doing this. It made me feel like that it was kind of, they weren't 100%. I don't know.
They were human. I mean, it added, I think, a more human aspect to the stormtroopers.
Exactly.
With like being able to show, you know, like kind of like, nope, we've seen what happened when Vader got pissed. He'd force choke people and throw them across the room. Like, let's not push it with Kylo here. You know.
Yeah, I like that's a good way to put it.
I like how they left a lot of room for growth. I felt like all three of the characters, you know, the new characters, you know, so the previous characters, they're old, you know, they've done all their growing, they've done all their maturing, but I think they put it in a sense where like Finn, Rey, and Kylo are all kind of still immature, And you can tell in the fighting sequences and stuff that they're still young. So I'm hoping that JJ uses this as an excuse to help these characters mature and grow up as the series goes. Because, I mean, it's just, I honestly, when Kylo's freaking out for the second time, you know, he's throwing tantrums, and I'm just like, what a child. Like, I mean, this guy is literally, like, if you were a kid with a lightsaber and you didn't get your way, you'd do exactly what Kylo Ren just did, just start slashing stuff until it breaks apart, you know? And, I mean, Finn just like, oh, I've got my hands on a lightsaber. I'm going to go and take on this guy who actually knows how to fight with one, you know, like just no real training goes into that, you know, no real thought. So I'm hoping that the characters have some more time for growth. I'd really like to see that, as well as I'd also really like to see I can't really tell who the main protagonist is at this point in time. Like, I feel like this story could revolve mainly around Finn. It could revolve around Rey or even Kylo. Like, all three of those characters could be the main protagonist.
Just like you said, the growth, I think it's going to go through the growth of all three of them, because they are children of the main characters of the previous, or the, you know, the original.
Hey, we don't know anything about Rey yet.
Well, come on.
I think I'll be upset if it turns out that she's Luke's daughter.
I think so.
I'll be like, nope, I'm on board with that.
Because then again, that would be, I mean, if in the next movie, like, Luke's like, no, I am your father, you know, to Rey, that's going to be right again, like, hark right to Empire.
Right after he cuts her hand off.
Yeah.
Although I do like, we have some cool growth to come from characters, except for Poe, because he's fully formed badass from scene one. Like, yes. Poe's just out there kicking ass and taking names.
He's the Han Solo of this. I honestly, because Han's character, I don't feel evolved very much in, you feel like you get to know him, but I feel like Han in episode 4 is the same Han in episode 6. Whereas Poe, I think, is going to be the exact same way. He's just
going to be the badass flyer.
Is he Wedge's son? I can't tell or
relate. I don't think so, but he's just busy.
Wedge's last name was Antilles.
Yeah, Wedge Antilles.
Unless he took a different name.
Whoa. Yeah.
I don't know. He's just killing it. Just up there, just taking out TIE fighters like it's his job. There's so many scenes and sequences and shots that are like, wow, that was the best one, or wow, that was the best one. But I don't think anything will top the shot of the X-Wings coming in over the water, like, to save the day. And then Poe Dameron just being like, I'm going to go ahead and take out like 10 of these guys in like one pass, because that's how I roll.
Yeah.
No, I liked all the new characters a lot, actually. And I liked the unbridled emotion of Kylo Ren. I kind of like the mirroring of it with his lightsaber. So the edges aren't sharp. They're not defined. It kind of crackles and stuff all along the edges. It's just like him. It's basically just raw power. And I really wanted to see more of, I thought Domhnall Gleeson did a good job. So the, I don't know what his name is, the Admiral for the First Order, the guy kind of leading Kylo's equal for the First Order, whereas he's, you know, Kylo's doing his thing. And I enjoyed the enigmatic Supreme Leader Snoke. I wanted more of both of those two characters, because I want to see more about what's going on behind the First Order, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, somehow managed to, if you had told me there was a way to make the Empire, you know, more fascist and Nazi-esque, I would have said, no, that's not possible. But lo and behold, they found a way. Straight down to, like, Nazi salutes and, you know, crazy leaders. I did think, like, I was a little weirded out by Snoke at the beginning, until it very clearly became went to the Palpatine school of just send your hologram everywhere, make it whatever size you want. But I am going to laugh when it turns out, I'm putting even money now that Supreme Leader Snoke is literally, like, as played by Andy Serkis, like Gollum sized in real life. Yeah. Like, maybe like 3'6" or something, 3'7" tops.
Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah,
I'm also curious to see the rest of, you got a slight glimpse of it when Rey was having her weird, like force visions of the other Knights of Ren. Because obviously there's more of them than just Kylo. You have that sequence of them all kind of standing behind him when they apparently turned on Luke. But I mean, obviously there's some other, they're definitely not Siths. No one in here that was a Darth something or other. They're obviously untrained and kind of nuts, but I feel like, and Snoke obviously has something going on with the dark side, but I'm curious to see where that path goes. So,
yeah, I mean, the other character, I can't quite remember her name. I mean, the yellow girl with the glasses,
Maz something.
Yeah. I feel like she almost kind of took the role of, you know, like, so, I mean, we're all familiar with Jedi and Sith, you know, and everyone's kind of, I mean, it was done. I mean, you can't cut into any more Jedi and Sith, especially because of the prequels, you know. But I think now kind of seeing, you know, the two new kind of orders coming up here, you know, like maybe you don't have to be force sensitive, you know, to be using a Jedi's weapon and stuff like that. Cause I feel like, you know, Rey and Finn, you know, kind of are going to kind of share the responsibility of being, I mean, cause I think sometimes deep down Finn has to have some sort of force sensitivity. And I just feel like they're going to kind of show maybe not Jedi's, but kind of, you know, something different, you know, like Luke tried the whole Jedi thing and it turned out to bite him in the face, you know? So maybe now they need to start these new things that aren't quite Jedi and not Sith, you know, a new beginning for both these groups.
So
you talk about those two groups. Also, can someone explain to me why we need a new order, a Republic and a Resistance? I mean, obviously the Republic like literally stops being a thing with like 30 seconds of dialogue and an explosion graphic. But apparently there was the Republic, and then separately there was the Resistance, and then there was the New Order. But apparently with one scene, the Republic is no more without us ever actually having learned anything about them. That was a little odd, I thought.
Yeah, I think they were kind of throwing that in there. I feel like it was just almost like, well, we got to let you know what happened between now and then. And hey, by the way, there's a Republic, but it doesn't matter anymore. So
like, did they need to do that just to, then a throwaway to set up like, oh, we can totally still now play the undergogs against a much larger, bigger, like we destroyed the Empire. We created this amazing, you know, utopian Republic. And then in one fell swoop, we destroyed it so that we can go back to being a bunch of ragtag rebels against a giant organization of Nazis. Space Nazis.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm still kind of in shock over how much I enjoyed the movie. And like, I think I need to see it more to start picking up on more subtle hints and little tiny clues on things. Cause I think there is an answer for why they needed to establish the Republic one last time, you know, to show kind of what happened. And if it's not something we're going to get now, it's definitely something that's making us need to see the next movie to be able to, you know, get that question answered. Cause I feel like they said they were going to wipe out the Republic, but I mean, like, it's not like they wiped out like Coruscant. Like what happened to Coruscant? Like, you know, they just wiped out like a whole system of planets, but they didn't necessarily tell you what planets they were wiping. I mean, they kind of set the system, but
yeah, I don't know. There was a lot. I mean, it did a good job of being like, here's a lot of questions, and maybe just because we're so hip to the genre now, like we see the questions like that we wouldn't have maybe noticed otherwise. But there was a lot of stuff thrown in there just to tease and ask questions, like who the hell is Max von Sydow? Like you don't go hire someone like him to then show up in the first 5 minutes and say like two lines and then get killed. Like who is he? Why is he carrying Luke's map around? Like what's going on there? I don't know. I feel like someone needs to explain that to me.
Well, I think that's it exactly. When you look at a movie that's going to be the first in a series of movies, you want it to be one very, very good. You want it to make a lot of money, obviously, so you can keep making the other movies. And I think the most important thing is that you make people want to see the other films. And I think this movie did an amazing job of that, because I've already seen on Facebook, you know, like all those images, 522 days until episode 8 releases or whatever it is, like, people are already amped about that.
Wait, how many days?
It was I don't remember what it said. I thought it said 522, 5 something or other.
Like, yeah, like 527 or something.
2 years, yeah.
That's unacceptable.
Right. We get Rogue One in between, so we get Rogue One next year, and then Episode 8 after that. So I guess I just can't... I want to be, you know, the movie snob critic in me wants to be critical of the movie. But I can't. I really just can't. It's the kid in me is like, what's wrong with you? This was amazing. It was Star Wars on the big screen. It was fantastic. It was everything you wanted it to be.
And you paid for your own ticket.
Well, the little voice inside of me is like, that was stupid. You should have had mom and dad pay for it. I don't know what's wrong with you.
All right. Can we talk about Han Solo? Can we just, I mean.
It's too soon.
Is it
too soon? I was not in a good place when I walked out of the theater, not just because of Han, but like the whole experience. I just was quiet. Some of my friends thought I was something wrong with me. I was
all like, right, well, let's start with the good.
I need some time to absorb this.
Let's start with the good, at least. The first time he shoots Chewie's crossbow, right?
The bowcaster?
Yeah. I mean, like this.
He took it when he got shot and shot him, and then he was like, oh, this is awesome. And then again, he was like, hey, can I try that? Boom.
Yeah. No, Harrison Ford definitely delivered in this one. And I don't know if that was because they're like, all right, look, one more. We'll pay you a lot of money. You don't ever have to make another one. Just really deliver on this one. And he did put in one of the better performances I think he's done in quite some time. And he was still definitely Han Solo. Like the sequence with the two groups of people that he'd swindled over, like he was the same guy that he'd always been, which I think explains a lot about Kylo Ren, because he was dead space beat dead. So
do you guys think that, I mean, he's done out of the movies. They're not going to do any flashback or anything like that. I mean, it's a lot of time that's gone on, even though he's dead. You know, I mean,
I would be surprised if he showed back up again. Just because of his, I guess, tumultuous relationship with the franchise over the years, I think he's probably happy to have done it, but also happy to not ever have to do it again.
Fair enough.
I'm still banking that at the bottom of that pit, Billy D was just waiting. And he's like, I got your back, baby.
I wonder, is he going to make an appearance at some point? Like, how did Maz get that lightsaber that was lost in... dropped off a Cloud City in the middle of nowhere. So they did have some fun little cameos. Admiral Ackbar got like his one line in the thing. It was not, it's a trap. So, and they did give Han before he went out. Han did get to deliver the, I have a bad feeling about this, which was only right.
Yeah. And Chewie got to say,
that's right.
Poor Chewie. I feel like he got the shortest stick in this whole thing. Like, I mean, I get Leia's probably a little bit upset, but they've been like space divorced for like 20 years. Like, Chewie's been life partner through thick and thin the whole time.
Sexual life, mate.
And Chewie's so old too. Like, I mean, I bet he was thinking he was going to go out before, you know, something like this would have happened.
It's like a best friend, like a dog.
Yeah. Well, except if my dog was like 30 years older than me, then...
Well, yeah. You know what I'm saying.
Speaking of dogs, Mel Brooks has come out and said that he hopes to start filming next year for Spaceballs, The Search for More Money.
Yes. I'm hoping for some, like, you know, Barf got somewhere with some other space chick, and now there's another little mutt running around. They're going to come takes that place, you know, because I mean obviously you can't replace John Candy, so I think Barf needs to have
I think the toughest thing about that, we lost John Candy and we lost Joan Rivers, so
yeah,
that's two of the things that make that movie really pretty funny. So
definitely,
so general consensus is we all loved it a lot. We were all gonna go see it again very soon.
Awakening me.
Yes, definitely seeing it again multiple times, more than likely.
I think you need to really get, I mean, because I think what, you know, what Adam was saying is, I mean, yeah, the first time you see it, you're just so excited to be seeing a Star Wars movie that you can't really get into it and start picking apart things, you know?
Yeah, that. It's hard to look at it critically. And I've talked to a few people, a few like, you know, diehard Star Wars fans who were super upset with it. They didn't like this or didn't like these new characters or didn't like the fact that it was New Hope all over again. And I was fine with it, but I'm going to have to see it a few more times before I can be really actually objective about
it. Those are the Star Wars purists. We don't, don't talk about that.
My only actual hard complaint would be that I think they probably could have fit another 15, 20 minutes in there, because there were definitely some sequences, parts of the plot that just kind of be like, oh, snap, 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 get past that so we can go.
Can we say, so even bigger spoiler alert than I think the whole Han Solo thing, the fact that Luke is in the movie for a minute and a half, you know, like, was anyone else expecting to see more Luke Skywalker in that movie?
At the beginning, yes, but as it went on and on, like, I realized that, nope, he's going to have, like...
the cameo, and then that's...
That's it.
Well, yeah. All those things made sense when I started thinking back to, well, he's not in the trailer, and everybody freaked out about that and assumed, oh, he's Kylo Ren. And it's like, no.
That's stupid. No. You're stupid.
Right, yeah. And then he's not in the poster. So, like, as you start looking at those things, it's like, yeah, this movie has really nothing to do with Luke Skywalker at this point in time, other than, like, we've got this map piece that gets us to him because he's been gone.
And, you know, like, I can't remember who I was talking to about it, but like I said to them, I'm glad that they did it that way, because the way that they did it with Spider-Man is like, it was all about Rhino in the previews, and it was all that, like, that's how they built him up. And then he was in like the last 33 minutes of the movie, and I was completely like heartbroken. And that was just like, I'm so glad that they didn't do that with Luke. But yeah, that was pretty interesting, having him pop up at the end.
Yeah, I just don't. I'm excited. I enjoyed it. I can't wait to see it again a couple times. I don't know how I feel about waiting another year and a half to see the further adventures of, you know, Kylo and Rey and Finn and Poe. I was excited. If nothing else came from that, just that the new additions to the franchise. Daisy Ridley, Oscar Isaac, John Boyega, Adam Driver. They all did a really good job, and I'm super excited to continue to see them doing it.
And, I mean, we kind of have been given, I always said, the nerd rumors. I mean, Boba Fett movie, you know, standalone films coming out along with Rogue Squadron 2. You know, not sure if it's going to be Boba Fett sequel movie or what. You know, like, because I think that, I mean... if you reintroduce a character like Boba Fett into here too, like this universe, like that would be, make a lot of nostalgic fans super happy too. You know, all the Mandalorians that, you know, that's the greatest thing about Star Wars is Mandalorians. And now this whole new three sequels or three movies we're going to have here, this new trilogy isn't going to have any Mandalorians in it. Maybe bring them back.
I saw, and when they go to see Maz in her little town, there's definitely a Mandalorian emblem there amongst all the others. I saw it sticking out there. I was like, oh, I like what I'm seeing here.
And then another character, Captain Phasma, she was played up really heavily in the media, and then she had like all of four lines in the movie.
Yeah, maybe like two scenes.
Yeah, I was excited for a different type of, I guess, captain or stormtrooper. And additionally, I was also really hardcore hoping that Kylo and Captain Phasma would have some sort of like evil love or something like that. He would be like, she would be like, or like his right hand, you know, partner in crime. But that didn't happen. But a girl can hope.
She's got her own action figure.
So yeah. I don't know. If there's one thing that I can actually say, even standing back from it as wrapped up as I was in it, that's an actual negative about the movie. And I hate doing this. I feel like I'm just picking it apart, and I really, really love the movie, is for the fanfare and all the stuff, I was a little let down by how not affecting John Williams' new score was. There was no, I mean, even the prequels had some really amazing, like Duel of the Fates and stuff like that. There was no theme that jumped out in any scene that made me be like, this is something special. Now I'm gonna have to go back and watch it again, but nothing really was like, nothing, none of the music ever like reached out and grabbed me like it does in the originals or even the prequels. So
yeah, that is really picky there, buddy.
I know. I don't know.
That's finding something.
I'm just trying to be shitty about it. But when it's all said and done, we all four of us loved it. I don't know. I haven't heard from Iggy or Aaron. Did they go and see it?
They did go and see it. I know they both went, but I didn't hear anything from them either about it. Like,
I feel like, I mean, I don't understand how you don't walk out of the theater and immediately tell everyone about what just happened.
Right.
Like, especially since they knew that we had seen
they
it.
Knew we had they, already seen
they could right, say yeah. anything to us about it. Like, I made like one comment in the message board because I saw it first, just saying, hey, seen it. That was something. We're good. And then I didn't do anything else after that, but they know right. that we've seen it. They can talk to us about it. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll have to get them on. We'll have to get them on record that first week of January. Make them say something about this.
We'll all have probably seen it many a times then, so it would be nice to.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we can ask Iggy what he thought of it. I don't know if we can survive. I don't know if the podcast can survive Aaron saying terrible things about a Star Wars movie. That might be the straw that broke the camel's back when it comes to our friendship.
I could do it.
Anyway, it's time to wrap up. We need to get back to our holiday break because we get to take 2 weeks off and Star Wars is ruining that. So, Josh, Drew, as always, thanks for joining us. Enjoy your guys' holiday break.
Thanks Definitely. For having us on. The second you guys said you were doing a Star Wars thing, I was listening to the Nerdcast and I was like, oh, I know we were just on, but we got to be back on. Like, I'm rocking my first two tattoos were Star Wars tattoos on my back, you know. So I'm not off on the podcast here, but I mean, like, I love Star Wars. I mean, it's been my life for years. So
I love it.
Be a part of this.
I love it, even though that you have terrible taste in your favorite Star Wars movie of all time. But we'll let it.
Younger. I mean, I don't know. I think it's my age.
I don't know. It's fine. Whatever.
They were already the films were already remastered at least once before I got this.
I get it. You like whiny, bitchy Darth Vader as opposed to awesome, imposing, like badass Darth Vader. I get it. It's cool. Don't worry about it. But for Adam, for me, from everyone else in the Nerdcast, everyone enjoy your holidays. Go see Star Wars if you haven't yet. If you have seen it, go see it again. Go see it many times.
Listen to this without seeing Star Wars. We're so sorry.
Yeah. Why? What the hell were you doing? We told you. We were so clear up front. Like we did not.
It's your own fault.
Yeah. You did this to yourself, and we're not sorry. Like we're glad you kept listening. But everyone else, go see it again. Let us know what we got wrong and why you loved it, why you hated it. I don't know. No, actually, if you hated it, don't let us know. But
let us know.
That's stupid. We don't want to hear about that. Tell us about what you loved about it. And tell us your crazy theories for the next one or what you want to see in the next one. But other than that, for Sexy Nerd Science and from everyone at the Nerdcast, thanks for tuning in, and we will see you in the new year, 2016.